Lovely to be with you. Lovely to see old friends. While we were waiting on the Lord there, I had a verse running through my mind. I just want to speak it out, for the kingdom of God is it's not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Joy comes from heaven. Joy comes from the Lord. The Lord has brought us into His kingdom of light and love and joy and liberty. He died to bring that to us. And He wants us to enjoy it. He wants us to be in that kingdom this morning. Praise His wonderful name. Just like to pray before I share the word. Father, Father of everlasting life and light and love, fountain of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning. We bless you, Lord. You're the same yesterday, today and forever. You never change. You never stop loving us. Your love is an eternal river of life to us, Lord. And we bless you for it. And we just pray now, Lord, as we look into your holy scriptures, that you would speak to us through your word this morning too. As you have been speaking so clearly and faithfully to us from the moment we began worshipping you, Lord. So please continue now, we ask in your precious name. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to, if you have a Bible with you, if you'd like to turn with me to 2 Timothy, Paul's second letter to Timothy, and chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll read the first few verses of this chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And starting from verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things, or the Lord will give you understanding as you consider. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Fantastic words, aren't they? Absolutely. Mind-blowing. And we heard the Lord speak to us through several words before we broke bread, and one of them in particular was about the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And it's wonderful when we think about this subject, and the Lord brought it to my heart this week, and I just want to share it with you this morning, the things that I discovered as I look into these few verses and in some other verses, particularly in this letter. The word be strong can be equally translated be strengthened. Be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What is grace? Grace is the unrestrained overflowing of the heart of God towards you and me. Grace is the unrestrained overflowing of God's heart to you and me in Christ Jesus. Grace is God coming to us and saying, I love you. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I will never stop loving you. I want you to be mine forever. That's grace. Hallelujah. Oh, I got a wonderful picture of grace a few weeks ago. I was in Chester, and at lunchtime we had lunch with a lovely couple, and a couple of guys were invited for the lunch. This is the hospitality thing. Blesses you. Really blesses you. Not only did we have a really good lunch, and but we got a testimony from a guy. He was a young guy, English guy, who'd been homeless. And it's an amazing testimony. But I just want to share a little bit with you, because to me this epitomizes the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, this guy, he was homeless. Don't know the reason, but he was. He was also addicted to alcohol and to drugs. And life became so wretched and so miserable that he wanted to kill himself. And he'd had no religious background whatsoever. And he woke up one morning and he decided this was the day he was going to end his life. And he said one sentence. He said, "God, if there is a God, now's your chance." And that's all he said. And he knew then he had 2 hours to wait till the shops opened and he could get the stuff that he could use to kill himself. Don't know what it was, but he had to wait 2 hours. And he was lying on the bed. And a little while later, he felt somebody washing his feet. And he opened his eyes and there was no one there. But somebody was washing his feet. And as his feet were being washed, he felt this wonderful sense of peace flow over his body. This happened in Chester not too long ago. And he didn't kill himself that day. The next day it happened again. And the next day. And I think he said it was for nearly a month. Every day someone came to him, some invisible being, and washed his feet. That's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Somehow he got a telly and he fiddled with it, and somehow it came onto the God channel. Don't know, he didn't know how. But anyway, and he left it on all day and he just lay on the bed and listened to whatever came over the God channel. And you may do that. You may find some of it's drivel, but some of it may be really helpful. And there came a point where a pastor shared the gospel very simply, and then he said, "Anybody who's listening who wants to pray, if you've been homeless, if you've been an addict, if you've wanted to kill yourself, now is the time to pray." So he did. And he said then he felt like he was being washed on the inside as he committed his life to our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful testimony. I was sitting there. Oh. Wow. Yeah. So he's in the Matt Chilwell's church in Chester. Bless the Lord. Be strengthened. Okay, so here's the wonderful grace of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. What is the grace of Jesus? It's Jesus himself coming to you and me in our situation, in our need, and saying, "I'm here to help you. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I will never, never, never forsake you." That's the force of the Greek in Hebrews chapter 5, 13 verse 5. Never, never, never. Once God has committed himself to you, he is yours forever. And you are his forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Be strengthened. Okay, this grace is the overflowing of God's heart to you and me. And God says to Timothy through Paul, he says, "You're my son in the faith." Okay, now be strengthened in this grace. Be strengthened in this grace. What does that mean? Well, this grace, first of all, it saves us from our sins. By grace, we are saved through faith. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, and then in Romans we read again, we're rubbish, God is wonderful, and he saved us, he died for us when we were still rubbish, still his enemies, still fighting against him in our minds. God died for us in Jesus Christ to save us from that, from all that enmity within us. And then God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. And then Paul says, by grace we stand before God today justified. As we commit ourselves to Jesus Christ in simple faith, you may have done that 70, 80 years ago, or you may have done it yesterday. Your life is God's forever and ever, and he is yours forever and ever too. And if you've never done it, I would highly recommend you do it today. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, a well-known memory verse. If you're into memory verses, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul says this, we'll go into verse 19 first. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. That's the purpose of your life and mine today, that we might live to God. Have you got that purpose in your life, beloved? Do you know that's the reason you're alive? That's the reason we're breathing right now, that we might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. What does he mean, I do not set aside the grace of God? Well, what Paul means is that his life began with the grace of Jesus Christ and continues in the grace of Christ. It's so easy, when once we believed in Jesus, to then get onto a foundation of religious works. It's built into, it's our default as human beings, is that we try to work out our own salvation in the wrong way. And think we have to please God by doing this and doing that. And God says, no, I just want you to live in my grace. Let my spirit lead you. I want to fill you with my joy, my peace. I want to do all the good things in you that were in my Son, and I'll do it by my grace. So what I want you to realize, he's saying here through Paul, you've been crucified with Christ. This is what God did by his grace. He put you and me into Jesus Christ when Christ died on the cross for the whole human race. As federal head of the whole human race, Christ hung there for men and women of every tribe, tongue and nation. He died as our head for all mankind. And when he died, we died. God put us into Christ. And then when Christ was raised from the dead, God raised you and me from the dead as well. And Paul says, this is the grace of God that I live by. This is the grace of God. That I died to sin. That I died to my old self. That self that dug its claws into me and holds me to wrong habits, wrong ways of thinking, wrong ways of behavior. Lying, cheating, stealing, whatever it might be. That old self, Jesus, died that I might be cut off completely from that life and live a new life in him. Bless his wonderful name. Paul says this is the grace of God, that God put you and me into Christ and then he raised us up with Christ so that we might be free to live to God. Glory to his wonderful name. Is that good news this morning? Hallelujah. Okay, well, when we think about, let's go back to 2 Timothy. When we think about Paul himself, he's writing to encourage Timothy from a dungeon in Rome. How about that? And he wrote other letters when he was in a dungeon in Rome, and one of them was full of joy. Hallelujah, because the joy of Jesus Christ knows no limits. Stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. And Paul knew that. So if we look in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17... Paul's saying he was on trial for his life. Everybody left him. That was identifying with the Lord in his experience. They all forsook him. He was rejected and despised of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And then verse 17, but the Lord stood with me. Hallelujah. But the Lord stood with me. He didn't fail Paul in his hour of need. He didn't desert his servant when he needed him most of all. And strengthened me. Hallelujah. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Are you in need of strengthening this morning? Well, here is the heavenly strength that Paul found, and it is God's strength for you and me, beloved, in our situation, in our weakness, in our circumstances of life. Paul found this in different places. Here he was on trial. That's a very serious place to be, but he found that the Lord stood with him there and strengthened him there in front of Caesar, Nero, that bloodthirsty beast. God strengthened him there. Wow, how about that? Think of our brethren in North Korea and places like that. How God can mightily strengthen them. I met a woman in a country in the Himalayas, and she was hauled before the governor, and she was just a simple peasant lady. Sorry to use that word, but you know what I mean by that. And God strengthened her and gave her words to say to this high and mighty governor who had the power of life and death over her. I met a man last autumn, also in the same country, and he was a nurse, male nurse in a leprosy hospital, and he believed in the Lord Jesus, and the governor came along and said, "I could kill you." And this brother said, "Well, yes, that's true, but I won't stop believing in Jesus." And the governor hasn't killed him. He's still there. He's one of a very few Christians in that country. Praise the name of the Lord. God strengthened him right at the moment when he needed it. This is the wonderful thing, isn't it? We kind of think of situations and we quail at the knees and we quiver and we wibble and we wobble. But that's because we don't have that grace that we need at that moment. But the moment we need it, the grace is there. That's the wonderful thing about the grace of God. Paul said to the Philippians, "I can face all things through Christ who strengthens me." That's the same word. He was in strengthened inwardly by the Holy Spirit as he needed the Lord to help him in whatever situation he was in. Do you remember he was strengthened to endure sickness by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Hebrews 11, verse 34. Hebrews 11, verse 34. And the Lord speaking through, who was it? We don't know. I think it was Apollos, but that's just my opinion. Okay. And he's speaking of those who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. Now these are pretty big things, aren't they? Stopping a mouth of lion or quenching a furnace when you're in the middle of it. Escaped the edge of the sword, got away from violence, out of weakness, were made strong. The word there, the Greek word is apo, which means you're in weakness. But out of that very weakness, you are made strong in Jesus Christ. So if the weakness is the platform for his strength to be demonstrated. Glory to his wonderful name. Are you feeling weak this morning? God's grace is the app for everything in life. Okay, think about that. Okay, let's go back to 2 Timothy. And we'll just apply it to a few situations. Paul gives us a few pen pictures to encourage his young brother in the Lord. And we're going to go to verse 3 and 4. "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him to be a soldier." So the first thing Paul tells Timothy is that you're engaged in warfare. Do you know that this morning? If you're a Christian, you're engaged in warfare. You may not have chosen to be engaged, but you are. You can't be a pacifist and a follower of Jesus Christ. I mean that in spiritual terms, okay? Only in spiritual terms, okay? We could have a long discussion about that some other time, but not now. You must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're engaged in warfare. You've been enlisted by Jesus Christ into his army. When the Lord led a rabble of slaves out of Egypt, 2 million people, it says the armies, he led them out as hosts. He led them out as hosts. In other words, God led them as an orderly army out of Egypt. But they weren't armed. They were going in the strength of the Lord of hosts. And they did that for the next 40 years. They found his strength. That's a wonderful thing. When God leads you out, he leads you out in his strength, not yours. I had a friend, senior missionary, who was also in a major in the Royal Engineers. And he said, for 2 million people to have crossed the Red Sea in one night, they would have needed a front 5 miles wide. 5 miles wide. Don't think about the pictures you see in picture Bibles and so on. They would have needed a front 5 miles wide. How could they have accomplished such a feat unless the Lord of hosts was with them? Unless God was ordering their paths. Okay, so glory to his wonderful name. Paul says, listen, be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ because you're in a fight. If you were here on Thursday night, you would have heard Dave read to us Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesus, which is where Timothy was, by the way, Ephesus was the center of demonic worship. And the warfare that we are engaged in is against principalities and powers and all the wicked forces of the evil one who bind men and women in their chains of sin and darkness, ignorance, skepticism, cynicism, and all the other isms that there are. And the Lord has come, hallelujah, to set us free from everything that has ever bound our lives. Glory to his wonderful name. Maybe the Lord is speaking to us about fear at the beginning of the meeting. If your heart is bound in fear, God can deliver you from that fear. I was with a friend over in Manchester yesterday at a meeting with Thai brethren, and I was sharing with him. He had a particular issue with fear, and I was sharing about him about a friend in Cambodia who was living in the north of Cambodia at the time when the Khmer Rouge was still there. And if you know anything about the history of Southeast Asia, you know who the Khmer Rouge were and what they were like. He got a terrible fear came over him because he had to travel around and he knew that one day he might meet Khmer Rouge in the forest. And so he cried to the Lord, and the Lord set him free from that fear. Absolutely set him free from that fear of meeting the Khmer Rouge. And just a little while later, he met the Khmer Rouge face to face in the forest. And they waved him on. He was driving a truck and they waved him on. Yeah. God can set you free from fear. He wants you to believe him to do that. He wants you and me to believe him. This is a great thing. God wants us to believe him. This is what some people came to Jesus and said, what is the work of God that we should do? And Jesus said, this is the work of God. Believe in him who God has sent. In other words, believe in me, Jesus said. Believe in me. And you'll find that what you require, that your life becomes ordered and secure in the Lord. Blessed be his wonderful name. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Abraham faced battles to rescue his nephew. Moses faced Amalek, who wanted to destroy Israel. David faced the Philistines. Our Lord faced all the spiteful enmity of man and devil. What are we fighting for? What's this warfare we're engaged in? Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Don't worry about going there. I'll read them to you, if I can find Nehemiah. Okay, Nehemiah chapter 4, 14 and 15. Please just listen. And I looked, they're being threatened. Okay, they're building the wall of Jerusalem, and they're being threatened by their enemies. And I looked, Nehemiah says, and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. That's a great thing. Paul says, why does Paul write that? By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Because we forget. Do you forget sometimes? I know I forget. And we take circumstances and situations into consideration and forget that the Lord is in control.
that God is always there.
We lived in a first place we lived in upcountry in Thailand. The glass in our windows rattled with when shells were falling on the border, not too far away. But God kept our hearts in perfect peace because he wanted us to be there. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives and your houses. This is the battle we're in, beloved. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your brethren. Anyone who isn't the Lord's in your family. Fight for your kith and kindred. Fight for your church. Fight for your communities. Fight for your country. This is the battle we're engaged in the Holy Spirit. And how do we fight? Well, of course, we fight the prayer fight, don't we? We fight the prayer fight. James chapter 5 and verse 16 to 18. A wonderful word of encouragement from James for all of us. The Lord says through James, confess your trespasses to one another. This is verse 5, verse 16. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent or earnest prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And he prayed again. Showers of blessing. Do we want showers of blessing in our church? He prayed again. Okay, there are times when we pray and pray and God sends showers and then we forget to pray and the showers tail off and we want showers to come again. We want our communities to know about Jesus and people to be filled with the Spirit, born again of the Spirit of God. The greatest miracle that can ever happen to anyone. Hallelujah. Elijah prayed again and the heaven gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. You know, there are things that we can't do if we're in a certain stage of life, but this we can all do. We can all cry to God and pray that he will pour out the showers of blessing on our churches, on our communities, on our families, and turn people back to him. Glory to his wonderful name. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. The other thing, sorry, we're going to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The other thing we have to fight for is the gospel. Hey, we fight in prayer for our families. With the gospel, we fight by preaching, by proclaiming, by speaking the word, by speaking the truth, by bringing the truth into situations where we have an opportunity. Without argument, without trying to win the argument, gently stating what the truth is about Jesus and us. And our future, if we don't have him in our lives, what will that be? Why Jesus came? Why he died on a cross? As we have opportunity, preach the word. This is 4:2 in 2 Timothy. Be ready in season and out of season. That means when people want to hear and when they don't want to hear. We're in the season of don't want to hear. So we still proclaim the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for Christ's passion for Wirral. Bless the Lord. It's wonderful to be there and see the word of God being proclaimed. The message of the Lord being proclaimed. Verse 3 tells us, okay, Paul goes on to say, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So once you turn away from the truth, you start to believe fables. People say Christianity is a fable. It is not a fable. It is the truth of God that was sealed with the precious blood of Christ. Someone sent me a link on Facebook the other day. And I quoted it somewhere. But it wasn't here. Okay, so the late Professor Hawkins said, heaven is a fairy story made up for people who are afraid of the dark. Professor John Lennox of Oxford University, who's professor of mathematics, said, atheism is a fairy story made up for people who are afraid of the light. Isn't that beautiful? That's beautiful. Yes. These are not fables. Peter said that these are not cunningly designed fables. We were with Jesus when he showed us his glory on the mountain. And then Peter was willing to lay down his own life for that truth of God. Hallelujah. You don't lay down your life for a fable, do you? You don't. You only lay down your life if this is the absolute truth of God that you've received. So he says, you be watchful in all things, verse 5, do the work, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, because there will be afflictions if we do that work, fulfill your ministry. So we're here to proclaim the gospel and to also protect the gospel. You know, Paul's ding-dong, Paul had some real ding-dongs. I was reading about one in Acts 15 the other day. And in Khmer, he has a real ding-dong. And Khmer's know all about having ding-dongs. Yeah, it comes over very forcefully in that language. why? Because some people were trying to twist the gospel of Jesus Christ into something that it is not. And God says, you are here, we are here to proclaim the simple gospel of Christ's love for sinners. That is a holy love. That is a wonderful love. It was a love that led him to lay down his life for us. And then God raised him from the dead. And God's purpose for your life and mine is to make us holy too. Hallelujah. Back to chapter 2. Paul goes on to say, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The next little word picture. This phrase, competing according to the rules, basically means that you observe all the conditions of the contest. So you run within the bounds of the course. In other words, you run in your lane. You don't run outside the lane. You run the narrow way. You follow the narrow way. You run disentangled without weights. Remember, that one's in Hebrews. Let's lay aside the weights. They were for training. And when you actually were in the real race, you didn't run with the weights. What are the weights? Well, the baggage of cares, desires, things that hold us back from following Jesus with all of our hearts. Is there anything today in your life that you feel is just getting in the way? You know, Jesus has invited us time and time again this morning to come to him. Bring everything to him, whatever it is. And it's something that's impeding your progress in the following the Lord Jesus Christ. You can just bring it to Jesus and say to him, Lord, I hate this thing in my life. Please take it right away. And he will do that for you. He will, because he's done it for me. And I'm nobody special. I'm just a guy from Burton. Yeah, the beer town. If God can save somebody from the beer town, he can save anybody. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. We have friends from the beer town here with us this morning. That's why I said it. Okay. Yeah. Praise the name of the Lord. Running the race. Sorry, just going back to protecting the gospel. I was with a man yesterday who's in a church in Scotland. And they've turned aside from the truth. And all sorts of fables are coming into that church. Okay. Just to say that by the by. Okay, so here we are, running the race. I was watching, any of you see the Commonwealth Games? Some of the athletics? You love watching athletics. And one of our guys won a gold medal and then got disqualified. Did you see that? Yeah, because he was flailing his arm out somewhere and it hit the other guy in the face, which was quite, you know, that really was impeding the other guy, so you can see why they disqualified him. Very sad story, but we're not to impede one another. We're not to impede one another. Is there anything in our lives where we are at odds with another brother or sister? And we've had a row, or we had an argument, we had a difference of opinion, but we can't talk to that person because, oh, there's something, I just can't go and see that person. You're impeding your progress and you're impeding their progress too. Because when we hold something against somebody else, in our hearts, we are in a body. We're in the body of Christ, and what we hold in our hearts affects other people. We're not just an island. We are not an island. What we have in our hearts affects others. So therefore, Jesus says, "Be clear. Get rid of the baggage. Run without weights." And then Paul says, in chapter 9 of Corinthians, he says, go all out. Run to win the prize. Don't be half-hearted in this race. The worst place to be as a Christian is to be half in, half out. If you go all out for Jesus, you'll get all of Jesus. If you're only half in, you'll get miserable. You'll get miserable. I can say that because I've been there. I know what it's like to be half in and half out. It's the most miserable place in the world. You can't enjoy the world because you're trying to leave behind, but you can't enjoy Jesus because you've still got some of that in you. And, it's much better to let it all go. Much better to let the Lord put the axe to the root of the tree. Much better to get disentangled and then run the race with Jesus. And then, of course, the other thing you have to do is keep your eyes on the finish. Or on the finisher. Keep your eyes on the finisher. Who is the finisher? Jesus. Hallelujah. The author, the beginner, and the finisher of our faith. Glory to his wonderful name. Hallelujah. And Paul says time and time again, I was so blessed in Thessalonians. He's coming back. He's coming back. Every chapter is punctuated with, he's coming back. Hallelujah. And that'll be the finish. That'll be a wow. That'll be such a finish. And if we love him, we'll fly to be with him. Glory. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go all out for the prize. Be disciplined, Paul says. Don't, you know, discipline your body. Don't let your body indulge itself in anything which you know affects your spiritual life. Don't overeat. Don't oversleep. Don't let yourself run to seed. Don't let your mind wander into all sorts of things that you know when you kindly finally come back to yourself, you feel depressed. Don't watch TV programs that make you feel depressed. Don't go in internet places that make you feel depressed or make you feel violent or make you feel stir up all kinds of emotions that you know as a Christian are really bad for you. Just don't go there. Be disciplined. Okay, just finally, chapter 2, Paul gives another illustration. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Well, that's good, isn't it? The one who works hard. We lived in countries where farmers work really, really hard. They have to wait for the rains to come, but once the monsoon comes, they're out in it. Have you ever been out in monsoon rain? Yes, okay, right, you know what it feels like. Okay, somebody's turned a bucket on your head. Okay. And then when the rain stops, you're still there in the fields in the blistering heat of about 40, 45 degrees because that's the time you've got to plant your rice. And if you don't plant your rice, you'll starve next year. So you have to work hard. The great time is harvest time. And, well, I planted some rice with some friends once and their lines were as straight as a die and mine was going all over the place. Harvest time is great. You're there in the best time of year and you're harvesting and you're bringing in the bread or the rice as in their case. Somebody said Christian work is 90% perspiration, 10% inspiration. I agree with that. The writer to Ecclesiastes, who had a very negative outlook on life, said, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So whatever God's given you to do at this time in your life, do it with all your might, because God is with you in what you are doing, as long as it's an honest occupation and trade. Hallelujah. Intercession, do it with your might. Beloved, those of you who have the gift of intercession, do it with your might. Those of you who have the ability to go and do something with your life, for the Lord, do it with your might, whatever it is that God leads you to do. Whatever it is. And just ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? Paul said that. He was a big man. But he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And look what the Lord gave him to do. The first thing he said was, Lord. Second thing, what do you want me to do? Yeah, as we bow ourselves before the Lord, we can trust him. There's a man called, you know, William Carey, don't need to mention the name, cobbler from Northamptonshire, who came to the Lord and then went preaching around Northamptonshire villages, preaching the gospel. And then he made out of scraps of leather, he made a globe, because God puts a thing in his heart for the world. And he, as he made shoes, cobbled shoes at his bench, he had this globe in front of him, and he prayed for the nations of the world. And then he made a little book, and you can still find copies of that book today, of how many nations, how many million people still didn't have the gospel. And he said, Lord, what about this? And God sent him to India. In India, he oversaw the translation of 12 languages into the New Testament. I have a book upstairs that was written while he was doing that. And it's a list of the languages that were already in progress. It's amazing. And what was Carey's answer? I can plod. I can plod. I can plod. Yeah, that's it. Whatever God gives you to do, you can plod your way through it. And you'll get to the finish because God is with you in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For us, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with us in whatever He gives us to do, and He will enable us to finish the work. Glory to His name. When Solomon finished the work, the glory of God came down on the temple. When Jesus finished His work, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the nations and is still being poured out today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So there was Carey. He did that. Spurgeon initiated over 40 charitable works in London in the Victorian era when London was a cesspit and all sorts of stuff was going on. 40 works. He didn't do them all himself, of course, but he had the idea from God, and then he saw ways of, oh yeah, we could do that. God gave a precious sister a vision of what to do on the Wirral. Hallelujah. And it's done. The work's been done. Isn't that wonderful? 2 years, and now it's done. And God, ask God what He wants you to do, and God will give you an initiative, and God will give you the inspiration, and then He'll ask you to work hard to seize the fulfillment of that inspiration. Because Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. The last thing is that if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. This is one of the wonderful things about God. You know, God cannot sin. God cannot tell lies. God cannot deny His faithfulness. Isn't that wonderful? He can't ever change from being the faithful God that He is. Bless Him. Yeah, He cannot deny Himself. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. Great is Thy faithfulness. Jeremiah wrote at the lowest point of his nation's history. Great is Thy faithfulness. And God told Jeremiah they would be 70 years in exile. And they were 70 years in exile. And then God brought them back to Israel. And then they were 2,000 years in exile. And now God has brought them back to Israel. And Israel has been a nation state for 70 years. Isn't that a significant figure? Shouldn't we be praying for Israel too? Yeah, of course we should. Yeah, especially in the days in which we're living. Yeah, glory to the name of the Lord. Okay, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. Be strengthened in this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I fought the fight. Okay, this is chapter 4, verse 7. I fought the fight. Okay, now Timothy, you fight the fight. I finished the race. I've run. I'm almost there. I guess he knew what was coming ahead with his next appearance before Nero. I've finished the race. Now, Timothy, you run. Finish. Go all out. Glorify Jesus in your life. And I've worked hard. He says that in other places. He says, I became all things to all men so that I may save some. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's follow His wonderful example and seek the Lord for His strength. Seek the Lord for that His message might be preached fully through us. In the day in which we live. In the name of Jesus. Amen.